Hey guys, here's how to help support the show. First of all, sign up for the podcast feed, iTunes, Stitcher, RSS, and all that stuff at scotthorton.org. Secondly, head over to scotthorton.org/donate, and anyone who donates $20 right now, you'll get to the front of the line to get the audiobook first when it comes out, the audiobook of Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan. Anyone who donates $50 or more to the show gets a signed copy of the book, Fool's Errand. Anyone who donates $200 or more to The Scott Horton Show gets a lifetime subscription to Listen and Think Libertarian audiobooks. And listen, I really appreciate the monthly subscribers. Some of you donate $5, $10, $20, $30 a month, this kind of thing. Some even more. Really appreciate that. They go a long way to helping the show continue. So sign up for the monthly donations there if you want. And also, if you sign up at patreon.com right now, patreon.com/Scott Horton Show, to donate at least a dollar per interview there, you will get two free audiobooks from Listen and Think Audio. That's at patreon.com/Scott Horton Show, and again, scotthorton.org/donate. Shop amazon.com by way of my link. And hey, leave me a good review on iTunes, Stitcher, or amazon.com if you've read the book. And of course, share the shows on social media if you can as well. Thanks.
Sorry I'm late. I had to stop by the Wax Museum again and give the finger to FDR.
We know Al-Qaeda, Zawahiri, is supporting the opposition in Syria. Are we supporting Al-Qaeda in Syria?
Well, it's a proud day for America. And by God, we've kicked Vietnam Syndrome once and for all. Thank you very, very much.
I say it again, you've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked.
These witnesses are trying to simply deny things that just about everybody else accepts as fact.
He came, he saw, he died.
Well, we ain't killing they army, but we killing them. We be on CNN like, say our name, Ben, say it three times.
The meeting of the largest armies in the history of the world. Then there's going to be an invasion.
All right, you guys, introducing our friend Nasser Arabi. He's a reporter based out of Yemen, lives there in Sana'a, Yemen. Used to report for the New York Times and the Carnegie Endowment, and lots of places you can find him online. Nasser Arabi, you know, his writing's in English. And also he runs Yemen Now, Yemen Elan, yemen-elan.com. And I'm very grateful he's spent the last couple of years keeping us updated on the state of America and Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates, I guess among some others, war against the Houthi-Saleh government in the capital city of Sana'a there in Yemen, which they took from the American and Saudi sock puppet Hadi back at the beginning of 2015, which precipitated the current state of war. Welcome back to the show. How are you doing, Nasser?
Fine. Thank you very much, Scott, for your interest.
Very happy to have you on the show here. Very grateful. So we got to start out with the worst of the bad news first. This is almost unbelievable to me, sir, but I guess, you know, we've covered this on the show, and over the last 6 months, I've talked with Clara Manera from Doctors Without Borders, and she told me in March that there are 30,000 people had cholera. And then she told me in June it was 300,000. And then she told me in late August, September, that it was up to 700,000. And now the Red Cross reported, I think yesterday or the day before yesterday, that they estimate 900,000 Yemenis. Almost a million people have cholera now. Is that right, Nasser? Does that fit with your understanding of the situation there? 900,000 people?
Yes, for cholera, it is this, and even more. But the humanitarian catastrophe is not only in cholera, it's in even more than cholera. Cholera is just one thing of what this Saudi-made catastrophe is doing in Yemen. The starvation, the Saudi-made starvation, is now killing millions of Yemenis. And We have been under blockade now for about 3 years. And last week, Saudi Arabia declared one more blockade, let me say so. One more, or new blockade and new war. This is a new thing that we could talk with you and your audience, Scott. New blockade and new war now, after 3 years of massacres and exterminations in Yemen.
And now, what exactly
do you... Me what?
You mean they're escalating the blockade?
Yes. After November 4, when Yemenis fired a self-defense missile to the airport of King Khalid inside Riyadh City, the Saudi capital, Saudi Arabia considered this as a turning point in its aggression. And it considered it as an act of war from Iran, as it said. Not from Yemen, but from Iran. And this is why it is a new turning point in this Saudi or U.S.-backed Saudi aggression. Saudi Arabia declared that it would close all the ports, sea, land, and air ports of Yemen, which were already closed, in fact, with just a little humanitarian relief that was allowed to enter from time to time because of the pressure of the human rights groups and UN agencies. Now it closed everything, including the lifeline port of Hudaydah, which is the only port that Yemen receives its imports and its foodstuffs, actually. So this is even more important than the cholera, as I told you. And now, United Nations yesterday declared that if this blockade, if the new Saudi procedures continue, millions of Yemenis would die in a week. And I would say this is right because I see Yemenis die every day because of this starvation. Because Yemenis did not have salaries for more than 1 year now. And they don't have food, they don't have money. So this is really a famine, Saudi-made famine. And unfortunately, there is support from U.S. and U.K. for this famine. Although the United Nations Security Council yesterday called for opening all these ports, all these closed ports, but unfortunately Saudi Arabia did not respond to these calls, and they kept closing them because they speak about very strange things by saying that the missile, the self-defense Yemeni missile that was fired to King Khalid Airport in Riyadh, they said that it was Iranian missile, and Hezbollah fired it from Yemeni lands under the control of Houthi, as they say. This is the statement of the foreign minister of Saudi Arabia, Adel Al-Juwair, and even the crown prince, the de facto king, he said something like this. He said, this is an act of war from Iran. So they talk about Iran, but they kill and destroy Yemen, unfortunately, for 3 years. And not only this, the world condemned the launch of missile to Riyadh, and they forgot more than 200,000 bombs, including prohibited bombs, like cluster bombs, phosphoric bombs, and fission bombs, and all kinds of prohibited bombs, over 3 years, killing more than 70,000 Yemeni civilians, and causing the displacement of more than 3 million Yemenis inside Yemen, and also the cholera that was as a result of destruction of the water facilities here in Yemen. So this is the humanitarian catastrophe in Yemen. It is now, Saudi Arabia is turning it into a regional thing. It is connected the missile to two countries, Lebanon and Iran, while the country that is under the bombardment for 3 years, under killing and destruction, is only Yemen. This is now the problem that must the free people of the world help as much as they could. And we hope that there will be some kind of help from there or here, because it's, you know, if this famine and this starvation continues, people will die in hundreds and in thousands daily. And this will be, of course, a shame on the human community.
I got bad news for you, Nasser. I interviewed Walter Jones, the Republican from North Carolina, from the House of Representatives the other day, and he was just beside himself with frustration that he can't do anything. He's trying, him and you know, some others, the Progressive Caucus of Democrats and the Liberty Republicans, they're trying to do something about this, but they're just outnumbered for now. And, you know, their resolution to try to stop it ended up getting broken down in the Rules Committee. Supposedly, they're going to at least have a floor debate on a non-binding resolution, but it'll be an opportunity to get some real publicity out. But, you know, we have too many wars, so people start tuning out. If we were only doing this to Yemen, then it would be the center of attention. But when there's nine different wars, people just don't bother. It's just too much.
Exactly.
I'm sorry to say, I know it's the worst one we've got right now.
Let me take this opportunity to thank Walter Jones and Ro Khanna and all these representatives in the House of Representatives. We follow them. We follow what they are doing. And we are very grateful for them. And we know that they are doing their best. And I'm in contact with them, actually. I follow what they are doing. And we also, from time to time, we tweet and retweet what they are doing. Mm-hmm. But also, we rely on these people. We rely on these people because what's happening in Yemen is dangerous, not only to Yemen, as I always say, but also to the United States and to the international community, because what Saudi Arabia is doing now is beyond the reason. It's asking for the impossible from Yemenis, because the missile attack, which is the second to Riyadh, it is the second, but this one was completely different. And if you have time, we can talk. They launch a new war. They wanted to launch a new war on Yemen because of of self-defense. Self-defense is a legitimate right for any country. And talking or escaping to Iran and talking about Iran is very funny thing, because they say that it was smuggled from Iran. It's impossible. It's impossible to be smuggled this time, because these all the boats, I mean, sea, air, and land of Yemen, are under the control of Saudi Arabia. So how could Iran smuggle something like this? I mean, big missile. And for those who talk about Iran, we would tell them that Yemen, we have in Yemen experts, and we had a lot of missiles, from the Russian missiles and Korean missiles, and now they modify it. Mm-hmm. Iran could help by email if they help, or Hezbollah, or anyone in the world who can help. He would help in some know-how or in some experience, not in smuggling. Smuggling is impossible. But we know, of course, when we hear Saudi Arabia talking about smuggling the missiles from Iran, we know what Saudi Arabia means. We understand that it is very embarrassed. Saudi Arabia is very embarrassed to tell the people that after 3 years, now it is being attacked by long-range ballistic missiles from Yemen to Riyadh. Mm-hmm. And of course, Yemenis now, Houthi and Saleh, and all Yemenis, Yemeni patriots, patriotic forces, confirmed to Saudi Arabia that missile attack would continue, and this is a legitimate right, would continue as long as Saudi aggression and blockade continues. Of course, what we would do.
Right. Well, Jason Ditz points out at news.antiwar.com that even the Saudi officials, just like the Yemeni officials, at the same time identified the missile as a Burkhan 2H, which is a Yemeni-manufactured missile. And they admitted that first before they decided to spin it and claim that it came from Iran. And then, as you're saying, came from Iran, what, through the blockade? They shipped a bunch of missiles, the Iranians did, to the Houthis in Yemen, and then they unloaded them at what port? I mean, this is obviously a lie. If it's not a lie, then come on with the details. And they don't have any details because they're lying.
You know, they said a very silly thing. They said that it came in bots through inside the sacks of flour. This is a very funny thing. Nobody could
inside what? It. Inside what, Nasser?
Inside the bags of flour.
Bags of flour. Oh, okay. Yeah, like Saddam Hussein's nuclear weapons program was buried in the back garden. Remember that?
Nobody could believe such silly things, you know. So we in Yemen, we just laugh here. We laugh, but the problem here is that we feel that there are a lot of people who can be misled and who believe what Saudi Arabia is saying. But for Yemenis, they are laughing. They are laughing. Whether they are with the Saudi Arabia or against it, but it's silly to say something like this. Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's important, the point that you made earlier, too, that they make all this, they hype it up that it's Iran and Iranian influence in Yemen as an excuse to attack Yemen and say, aha, see, we're fighting against this Iranian influence there. So, you know, they claim they're being attacked by Iran, but they don't dare fight against Iran, because if they really attacked Iran, they would be the ones starting it, and then Iran can actually fight back in a way that poor Yemen cannot, you know, this couple of missile attempts here notwithstanding. So, you know, but meanwhile, the people of Yemen then get to be the scapegoat, basically. They get to take the brunt of Saudi frustration, even though it's not even true that this is an Iranian missile in the first place. Or, and you know what? Talk about this. What exactly, the best of your knowledge, and go ahead and, you know, make admissions, be critical. What exactly is the relationship between the Houthis and the Iranians? They're all Zaydi, or the Houthis are Zaydi Shia, and
Everybody knows the Iranians are Shia, so therefore they're allies. That's what they say on TV here in America.
Yes. Let me tell you a very important thing, because we keep talking about this, because it's now politicized. The Houthi are Yemenis and Muslims, but they are Zaydi. Zaydi is a moderate sect from Shia, right? So it's, what is in Iran is 12th. That is the Thna'ashari. Thna'ashari is completely different from Zaydi. You know, Zaydi and Shafi'i in Yemen, these are, you know, we don't even have Sunni in Yemen. We have Shafi'i, which is also a moderate sect of Sunni. So Shafi'i and Sunni have been in, have been living in harmony for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. We don't have two mosques in Yemen. We don't have different mosques for Zaydi and mosque for Sunni, for Shafi'i, at all. So we pray in the same mosque. So it's completely different. This is from the the sectarian point of view. But from the political point of view now, Saudi Arabia is pushing us to Iran because of these crimes. Now, we don't talk about these things at all now. Nobody talk about these things, but everybody is talking about the crime. The crime. You can just imagine 3 years of killing and destroying Yemen, everything in Yemen, in homes, schools, hospitals, weddings, funerals, markets, and everywhere. And they, at the end, they say Iran. Is this a justification or the restoring of legitimacy, the so-called legitimacy? Is it a justification? Is it true to let Saudi Arabia kill all these and destroy all these things for the restoring the so-called legitimacy? I mean, it's something that is not reasonable. So we are talking about this now. We are talking about what Saudi Arabia is doing, is pushing the Yemenis to Iran or to any place. So it is not right. What Saudi Arabia is doing is something that is not right. And I would tell you something, Scott, that Trump is the one who supports and who emboldened Saudis. He tweeted this week after the missile. He tweeted about four tweets about this, encouraging the Saudis to do all these procedures, and they did a lot. They intensified the blockade. They also announced a list of 40 people, of 40 officials, as terrorists, which was very funny list. 40 people, 40, four officials, 40 officials. They branded them as terrorists. Of course, number one is the top Houthi leader, and the 39 are the officials who are working in the government. And they, of course, they are doing their work normally, but this is what this was the result of the encouragement of Trump. Unfortunately, this is how we look at it.
All right, hang on just 1 second. Hey, everybody, check out the show notes. Damon's doing a great job writing up the show notes for all these interviews at the Libertarian Institute website and at scotthorton.org. And listen, you need to, while you're at scotthorton.org, check out all the advertisers in the right margin there. No Dev, No Ops, No IT, a great book by Hussein Badakhshani. The War State, another great book, this one by Mike Swanson, who also gives investment advice at wallstreetwindow.com. If you want to buy precious metals, go to Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, Inc., and they will take good care of you there to buy precious metals for your savings. LibertyStickers.com for your anti-government propaganda. 3T editing to make your book read nice, Tom Wood's Liberty Classroom so you're not wrong about everything, Darren's Coffee to get you up in the morning, and expanddesigns.com if you want a new website. You see the great website at foolsaron.us? Well, Expand Designs did that one for me, and they will give you $500 off your new website at expanddesigns.com if you just go to expanddesigns.com/Scott.
All right, now, so let me get back to the humanitarian crisis for a minute here. The media likes to say, and I've seen some pro-war hawks kind of glomming on to the number 10,000. Oh, look, I saw a right-wing, I guess, Likudnik, pro-Israel lobbyist type on Twitter saying, look, it's only 10,000 people have died. And anybody who says it's more than that, that's just Houthi and Iranian propaganda. It's actually apparently one of the most humane wars ever fought or something here. So can you give us your best estimate and explain how you get your best estimates
of the number of people,
first of all, killed in violence, in air attacks and in other attacks, you know, in violent battles on the ground. And then also, you know, I guess separately from that, the deprivation, whether cholera, starvation and other situations where people can't get to the hospital when they're injured and all these, the excess deaths, as they put it in Iraq War II.
Right. Let me start with the two most recent massacres after the missile attack. Saudi Arabia intensified the airstrikes or maximized its airstrikes, its daily airstrikes now. More than 100 per day airstrike, more than 100. In Sana'a, over the last week, 100 airstrikes daily over the 24 hours. So they made two massacres, one in Sa'da and one in Hajja last week. 60 civilians were killed in the market of Al-Lail. That is the market, a popular market in Sa'da, killing the shoppers, the vendors and some people who were shopping, very, very poor people who were shopping in a village market, killing everyone and destroying the market. And simply they said it was a training, shamelessly. They just said, no, it was a training camp with five Iranian military experts or missile experts inside. And the media of Yemen and the media of the world showed that it was a village market with very poor people taking their needs from this market.
Right, and that is true. That was widely reported.
Yes. The second massacre was here in Hajja only yesterday, or the day before. Also about 60 in three houses. In three houses, about 20 men and women and children. But then when the responders came to help, they were killed also. So about 60. This is what Saudi Arabia is doing when it's angry. When the Saudi officials are angry, they just come and kill people. So those people who say there are about UN, let me say, UN estimates, when UN estimates that about 10,000 Yemeni civilians were killed over the 3 years, I would tell them that this number is not updated, and United Nations does not hide this. They tell us, the United Nations official here in Yemen, know that this number is not updated for about 18 months, or more than 18 months. It is not updated. They say we do not have documents. They say the health facilities were destroyed. About 60% of the health facilities that the UN was depending on are already destroyed. The country bought to UN, they can't document anything. And most, by the way, most of the massacres are not in Sana'a. You know, the health facilities are in the cities, not in the countryside, not in the in the villages. And most of the massacres happen in the countryside, in the villages, in the rural areas, not in the urban areas. Which means these victims are not documented at all because of many difficult things, even before this Saudi aggression. So my estimation for the civilian, for the Yemeni civilians who were killed over the 3 years in homes, hospitals, schools, funerals, weddings, markets, and farms are more than 70,000. How I know this number? I have a lot of local groups who also have statistics, and I mentioned a lot to some people who call me to ask about this number, because I tweeted this number always, and I tell them about my sources. Many local groups say this. UN agencies acknowledge that they did not update their figures, and my own observation as a journalist, from the very beginning, I followed every massacre allows me to say this number, and even more. And this, when we talk about 70,000 Yemeni civilians were killed, we talk about the direct killing. We are not talking about those who die because of the aggression, like those who die because of the cholera, those who die because of the hunger or hunger-related reasons, and those who die because they couldn't go abroad for further treatment, and all these things. No, we talk about those who were killed by bombing, by direct bombing, by air strikes.
And now the Saudis and the UAE and the Hadi forces, they do still control the city of Aden in the south, right? The port city there?
Yes.
And so in terms of, you know, the battle lines and the amount of territory that's controlled by the different factions, are the things changing at all, or it's just a stalemate now?
Well, thank you very much for this question. The south, the so-called liberated part, like Aden, now is the most dangerous place in Yemen. Hadi is still in Riyadh. His government is still in Riyadh. No one here at all. No one. There are only one who was appointed by Emirates, by United Arab Emirates. Who's there? Who's in Aden? But let me tell you now that Qaeda, ISIS, or ISIS in particular now, they attacked the most secure place of security in Aden only last week, and they killed about 46, and they injured about 44. So about 90 persons were killed in the headquarters of security of this city yesterday. Of course, the ISIS claimed it and gave the details. And the people who attacked the place, they attacked the place with a suicide car bomb. Suicide car bomber who blowed himself up at the beginning, and followed by 12 ISIS operatives who stormed the HIB quarters there, and they held about 40 prisoners as hostages, and they stayed from 8 in the morning to 8 in the evening. Just, I want you to just imagine what I am saying. They stayed in clashes with Saudi or Hadi forces from 8 in the morning into 8 in the evening. So about 12 hours they stayed in fight with the United Arab Emirates backed forces. And at the end, only 4 who were killed. 4 ISIS operatives were killed. Only 4 from 12. Only 4. The suicide bomber and 3 others. And the other eight ISIS operatives could, at the end of the day, they could escape. Where? They escaped to the city. So the city of Aden is a safe haven for Qaeda ISIS.
All right, now.
You can just imagine those who call and who tell some UN officials to come to Aden to stay, because they want to, Saudi Arabia wanted to intensify its blockade by telling people to go to Aden, by telling the ships to go to Aden, the commercial ships, or the flights to go to Aden. Nobody can go to Aden because of these things. No one from Europe or from United States can come to Aden because he could be killed in minutes. But unfortunately, Saudi Arabia is trying to tell people that Aden is safe. It is not safe because of what happened only the day before. I think you heard about this, or you read about it.
No, actually, I had missed that one, but doesn't surprise me. I actually did see there was a guy wrote an article, and he had a map from, I don't know if it was Jane's Defense or something. Somebody had done a map of the territory that's now outright controlled by Al-Qaeda, or what they used to call Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula there. I don't know, you know, exactly which groups call themselves what. But, you know, it's also reported, Nasser, that Trump, I guess, you know, Obama really had kept at least the CIA drone war going against these guys, or at least some of their leadership, really the whole time. And Trump apparently has now put special operations forces, military guys on the ground in a couple of different raids, which have at least two of which have led to civilian casualties and have been total debacles. But America's really, is it your understanding then too, that America's really fighting on both sides of this war right now, fighting against the Saleh Houthi government in the capital and in the north, and at, you know, by way of the Saudis, working with the Saudis on that. And then at the same time, fighting against, to some degree or another, fighting against the Al-Qaeda or ISIS forces in the south and east of the country. Is that right?
Yes. It's a very complicated now for Trump to understand the situation here, because simply Trump depends on Mohammed bin Zayed of the Emirates. And Mohammed bin Zayed is very naive about Yemen. He doesn't know Yemen, because now for the South in particular, it's only under the control of United Arab Emirates. They are the decision makers, and they are doing everything. Qaeda is expanding now in the South for three reasons, at least. The first one is because of the conflict between Saudi Arabia and Emirates. It's not actually a conflict in the high level. It's because Mohammed bin Zayed and Mohammed bin Salman are in a big harmony, and they're okay. But the problem is under in the lower level. Saudi Arabia has the Brotherhood and the Qaeda and ISIS bro people, those who are in connected with the Qaeda ISIS people. These are the men of the supporters of Saudi Arabia in the south. Brotherhood and Qaeda ISIS. The tribesmen who are close to Qaeda ISIS in the south. And the United Arab Emirates has only the Salafis and the Hirak. Hirak is the separatist. This is the, you know, some of the socialists, Marxists, and those who talk about separation of the South. So we know that it is a problem. The problem of the South is the one of the essential problems of Yemen since 2006, not from now. So when Trump depends 100% on Mohammed bin Zayed, he's wrong to fight the Qaeda ISIS. Because we see now what Trump is doing, or the foreign policy now is in favor of Qaeda ISIS. Why? Because they help Qaeda ISIS because of the misleading, because of the Saudi misleading, and because of United Arab Emirates misleading. They are misleading Trump administration about Houthi and Saleh. And we know that Trump administration doesn't care about what they care about is only about Qaeda. But Qaeda is expanding. Qaeda is benefiting from this. Even the drones. Sometimes the drones, as I say always, they help and do not hurt the Al-Qaeda ISIS, because the intelligence and the tips are not clear with those who implement the operations by the drones. So I think what we need, if United States wants to fight Al-Qaeda, we need to stop the aggression, the Saudi aggression, the Saudi and Emirati aggression on Yemen. Then they could easily fight Qaeda ISIS terrorism. Otherwise, they only help them. And the evidence we have now is Aden. Aden and Mukalla, they said that they got out, they cleaned Aden from Al-Qaeda ISIS. But what happened this week shows that they did not do anything. Al-Qaeda ISIS is still inside Aden, the capital of the South, and what Saudi Arabia is called the temporary capital of Yemen. Unfortunately, it is full of Qaeda ISIS operatives, not legitimacy. The so-called legitimacy ministers and officials are based in Riyadh, and they are doing nothing, unfortunately.
All right. Well, listen, I really appreciate you coming back on the show, Nasser, helping get the word out here about it at least. Okay, good deal. Thanks very much, Nasser. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Okay, bye.
All right, you guys, that's Nasser Arabi. He runs Yemen Now, YemenAlan.com, and former reporter for the New York Times. You can read all his stuff about that he wrote about Al-Qaeda back before this current war started, and read all his coverage of America's continuing assault on one of the oldest civilizations on Earth. All right, that's the Scott Horton Show.